Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for the next in our series of how not to screw up a wedding, and today it's the often thorny question of what to wear. How do you look good but not stick out too much? How can you avoid outshining the bride when you don't know exactly what the bride will be wearing? Laura Jordan is the owner of Style Savvy. Good afternoon, Laura.
Good afternoon.
So you don't know, though, because the bride might surprise everybody.
Yes, and more surprises are becoming more common as time has gone on and as we modernise the idea of a wedding, which in theory makes the options for guests a little bit more flexible and dynamic. But the other side of that is we're not entirely sure where to sit and where to fit when it comes to dress code.
Yeah. Is it safe to assume the bride will be wearing white?
I would assume that the colour that you do not wear as a guest to a wedding is white or any iteration of it, like cream or off-white, ecru, etc. That would be my usual go-to. The exception to that might be a same-sex male wedding, because we presume they might wear suits, but again, in any colour, could be white still.
Mm.
That would be the only time, because we've been often asked, is there an occasion where you may wear white to a wedding and be kind of certain?
Hang on there. Are you saying it doesn't matter if men get married and you can clash it all you like and upstage them all you like?
Not in the least. I'm saying that they need to have it's less likely that they're going to wear white tuxes.
Yeah.
Not a non-given,
yeah.
But less likely, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should you tell people in advance?
This is becoming more popular, and there is a little bit of a Marmite opinion to giving a directive of sorts on dress code on an invitation. Some people really welcome it because they say, thank God, I have some idea of what's expected. And some people get a bit irked by the fact that they're in theory being told what to wear. Now, understanding what this dress code means is important because there's a little bit of confusion around the terms black tie, white tie, cocktail. So it's probably no harm to give a little bit of theory to that. White tie is your most formal. So people think black tie is like the top tier of formality. Actually, white tie supersedes that.
Oh, right. Okay. What's the difference?
White tie is quite literally a white bow tie. It usually has tails accompanying it. You could wear a black bow tie or tux jacket and tie if you wanted. But the white tie, interestingly, though it refers to ties, has more relevance in women's wear and it means a full-length gown.
Okay.
Whereas black tie, same for men's wear, means your black tie or your black bow tie, but can also mean a smart suit. It can mean a three-piece suit, bringing in your waistcoat. But for women's wear, it doesn't mean full length necessarily. A lot of people will read it as that, but it is something that is below the knee typically that links with the black tie, which can get a lot of women out of a tricky corner saying, I have a lovely dress that's to my, you know, below my knee, to my shin. It's not touching the ground. Is that okay? Mm. Yes, it is. Absolutely fine.
Yeah. So would then wearing any kind of dress that would be touching the ground, if you're a guest, that's a no-no, would it be?
Not a no-no, just a not required, unless you see the white tie written on the invitation. And black tie, it's absolutely applicable. It's just not essential because sometimes people find it a bit harder to find a full length dress than a shorter one because the length has to be right with a pair of heels you're wearing. We're doing a lot of online shopping for occasion wear and you can't gauge the length of the garment from the website. So it just is another factor when you're choosing your pieces online.
Okay, well, let's imagine we have a female leg in front of us and you have a marker in your hand, Laura.
Yes.
Where would you put the top mark and the bottom mark as to where the dress should end?
So the dress, if you are looking at any wedding, let's just say any wedding, you ideally don't want the dress to be shorter than the hand span above your knee. Now, the typical benchmark for length for anything, right, whether it be wedding, it's the benchmark used by the American school system, believe it or not. And when you put your hand by the side of your leg, menswear, womenswear, it doesn't matter. The place that your middle finger touches your leg is the shortest possible length you should ever be wearing in a pair of shorts, dress, skirt, etc. Now, that's not taking into account sitting down.
Mm.
That's just standing up. That's as short as you should go. Would I say that that is advisable for a wedding? Not necessarily, unless it's on a beach or it's a day two or something super casual. So my usual wedding advice is no more than a hand span above the kneecap.
Yeah. Okay.
And then in terms of the bottom, like touching the ground is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's
right.
Quite so
you,
a variety.
Go, you
yeah.
go down as far as you
literally
like.
Literally as far as you like. I have no, yeah. not a train, but, not
but,
a train.
Because are we saying though that if it's a bit shorter than that, that you're in danger of upstaging?
I wouldn't say upstaging as more bringing attention to yourself that mightn't be as positive as you would typically like. You know, and it's the sitting is the issue.
Right.
We forget to sit down in a dress when we try it on in a changing room or even home. And then realizing that when we're attending a wedding, we're sitting for, you know, a chunk of it, most especially the start of the day, which is when everyone, like, we're all sitting in a ceremony room or a church in theory, you know, paying attention, but really having a look at all the dresses.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of people watching at that point of the day. Yeah. So we're factoring that into.
Okay. So in advance of this next question, I want to point out I'm not a pervert. What about cleavage?
Won't that
attract the same kind of attention? Especially if you're sitting. Yeah.
In theory, you know, there's that really old saying, and I do sometimes refer to it, you know, it's either legs or cleavage, not both. Mm. So I don't see anything wrong with having a little bit more cleavage visible if your dress is longer. So it's kind of, you know, and then the antithesis of that, if you have a shorter dress, to maybe have a little bit more coverage with the cleavage. So it's sort of that, the balance piece, I suppose, we're looking to bring in here in terms of visible skin.
A listener says, I'm invited to a summer wedding. Dress code is smart casual. What should I wear?
Oh, that's a tricky
one.
That
could mean anything.
That's the one that strikes fear the most, I feel, is that those two words, whether it be in workwear or in weddings. And it's the one we often get requests for when we're shopping for clients. And with this one, you can wear tailored pieces. So you could wear to that wedding a pair of trousers or a skirt and a blouse, a top, a fitted top. You could wear a cocktail dress. You could wear a midi dress. You probably don't need to wear a full length dress. Nothing against wearing it, but it might be less typical or unusual in the gathering. So with that, I'd say have at least one piece of tailoring that is something that has a cut shoulder or a seam or dart. But you can, of course, look for something already in your wardrobe, or more importantly, something you're going to wear again, because we spend so much on clothes that don't get worn again.
Yeah,
for
that's and that can be an issue because, you know, people hit a certain age and the summertime could be four or five weddings you're going to.
Absolutely.
And maybe an issue with I'm going to be appearing in a series of photographs with a group of people who all know each other and I'm wearing the same thing in every photograph.
And we had this discussion with a client like 3 days ago, so it's very fresh in my head. She said, I'm going to a wedding and it's not, I love this dress. We bought it together last year for another wedding. She said, I really want to wear it. I said, okay, is it the same group? She goes, no, but people on Instagram will have seen it. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Once it isn't, the bride or groom is sitting beside you saying, oh, that's a gorgeous dress. I remember you wore it to our wedding. And also, what supersedes, again, all of this advice is if you feel good in something, wear it. I don't care if you wear the same dress to every single wedding you go to. If it makes you feel great, fantastic. But 90% of individuals do want something different because of social pressure to wear something different. But and also to feel new and fresh and different as you go. So the rules on that one, I would say, is if the different group of friends absolutely wear the same garment, don't worry about the social media implications of having a similar picture photographed twice. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Also, is the venue for the wedding an important thing? As you know, as in we're getting married in Italy or we're getting married in a forest?
Completely. That is
very important. Your bonics might get a bit destroyed if you're going to.
Very.
Yeah.
Very. So the location and also the like evening part of the or the weekend, you know, what is the itinerary, for want of a better word, is a huge factor. When we look at, let's say, a wedding in Italy, for women's wear, we're looking at natural fabrics because poly blends tend to create sweat. So you don't want to sweat overly when you're already in an environment that's warm. In that instance, the harder guest to dress is menswear. Because when we look at suits, you can buy linen suits. Now, I typically don't advise them because unless you're working in 40 degree heat in like Madrid for a length of time, you just don't get the value out of them. And more importantly, they crease quite a lot. So we're looking for a cotton blend with a little bit of linen or a really light wool. But you are looking to buy the suit you would wear. When you are at a wedding in October in Ireland, it is not going to translate well to Italy in July.
Yeah.
It's just going to be too heavy. So you are looking at purchasing a new piece for that. And it's probably the one time where the spend for menswear is going to, you know, outrank the spend for women's wear at a typical wedding.
Okay. Finally, somebody wants to know, is it true that if you wear red to a wedding, means you've slept with the groom?
I only heard this week and I was like, I'm lost for words. And that is rarely something that happens to me. I would have not heard of that before. And I'd like to think I've heard of most of the kind of old wives tales or concepts around this. I mean, part of me thinks, why not cause a little bit of a stir and just plant that seed? No, I red is one of the least popular colours for weddings because it's such a vibrant and striking colour. And I think we've all been conditioned to not stand out or be very noticeable within a wedding because it's not your day. And that really, it's not a helpful narrative, but it's definitely one we've kind of grown up in, particularly in Ireland. So in theory, so to answer your question, I haven't heard of it. Red looks great so much of the time. It's a real power colour, but I can see the instance of it not being as popular for weddings.
Why would you want to tell people that anyway, well, if you're going to the wedding?
Probably the bigger point. Absolutely.
Laura, thanks a million for coming into us. That was Laura Jordan there. Laura is an image and brand consultant and the owner of Style Savvy.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.